Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's session. I am Cynthia Garrett. And last week, Christine and I kicked off a whole new world of virtual sessions for you for this season. And it's because everybody's still kind of figuring out social distancing and lockdown, no lockdown. Obviously, I come to the studio in London from California, and Christina flies in from Kansas City, Missouri. You're on the Missouri side, right? Yes, to bring you guys the sessions. And so we literally, we're like, wow, well, we would have to do a 2-week quarantine before we could even start filming. So you are getting us from home for the next few weeks, and it's different and kind of cool and very laid back. So welcome Christina Reynolds. You guys know Christina. Yep, Christina is my regular sidekick here, and I love having her, and we are just excited to be back with you guys for this new season. So last week we started kind of looking at what's gone on in 2020 and thus far, and really diving into what it means to choose victory at this time where so much around us wants to make you feel like a victim. And Christina, I guess what I'm going to do today for all of you guys watching, and for Christina, who's sort of in her home studio here with me, is I'm gonna do some teaching from my new book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor, because it's so important to me that this message actually begins to take root in people's hearts, especially in this season where a lot of us and a lot of you have really wrestled with feeling like a victim of circumstances, a victim of change, maybe changes that you aren't familiar with, you don't want, you know nothing about, you don't understand, you know, all of it. And maybe some of you just have these words and these sentences that have played themselves out in your life for a long time, you know, you know the sentences and the words, the things that tell you that you can't. So I want to dive in, and I'm going to read some excerpts from this book. And I really want us as believers around the world to not walk around every day like a victim. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. It matters that God loves you and you're his son or his daughter, and he created you for victory, and victory is yours. But it's your choice to make. I can't make it for you. Christina can't make it for you. But we are going to walk through it because we understand. You know, for those of you who know Christina and my testimonies, we've been through a lot of wreckage in our lives. And we both have a lot of reasons to choose to be victims. And we've both experienced probably living our lives and reacting as a victim, you know, and responding to others from a place of victimization. But I know I didn't want that. And I know that you didn't want that either, Christina. So, you know, I would like to ask you before I dive in, Christina, what are the things through a lot of what's gone on in the world through COVID-19 and through all of the different protests, which kind of turned into a lot of riots about George Floyd's killing? What are the victims' narratives that the enemy has tried to use on you?
Right. That I'm powerless, that I don't have a voice, that I can't have an opinion because I'm not a certain ethnicity, that, you know, there's always those accusations that worship and prayer, what is it really doing? You know, like we should be doing more, what can we do? Those have just been a few things, or just overall just fear of putting my trust in my own ability to protect my family. Or, you know, my own self-sufficiency. I think those have been kind of like the overarching narratives of victimization, and even just giving into confusion. What's going on? Who do I believe? You know, and getting angry that there's so many lies, there's so many opinions, you know, what's going, like, you know, getting my eyes off of Jesus and fixing them fully on everything around me. That has probably been the most of what's compiled my victim narrative.
Wow. Okay. So that's powerful. And, you know, it's really interesting to me that one of the things that the enemy would use against you, I mean, it's interesting, but it's not surprising, right? Is that, I'm doing worship. Maybe I should be doing more. Because the reality is that for me, when I'm at the end of myself, or when I'm smart enough to be knowing I need to be at the beginning of God for my day, then I always go to worship. Worship is the thing that delivers me. It delivers my soul. It begins the ministry to my spirit, and it sort of underscores the word of God that I'm reading. So worship, and I would encourage all of you watching, like, if you don't have worship music as a part of your day, you're putting a weapon in the hand of the enemy, in which his victim's narrative that he's written perfectly for your life, you're helping him to be effective in it. So you gotta make worship an important part of your growth in Christ, because it is, because we were made to worship him. And so isn't it interesting, because it doesn't surprise me that what he would want to do by telling you worship isn't enough, you should be doing something. Well, you're doing the most, you're contributing the most, into our hands by contributing worship music. And I think it's crazy that the enemy would try to use that. But I also think it makes the most sense. And we need to be aware of how clever and deceitful that he is. You know what I mean? Because of course he would come against that. That's God's weapon. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And that, for any of you who feel like you may be wrestling with a victim's mentality, or with living your life as if you're a victim and replying and responding to people from a place of victim stuff, anger, blame, fear, all of that. If you find that you're living from that place, then you gotta remember that, that's the place that the enemy wants you to live from. It's not the place that God created you to live from. So I just wanted to read this quick little excerpt because it might be interesting. And it says, the poverty of the mind that has overtaken entire cultures of people around the world can only be defeated through a deeper understanding of our real identity as overcomers and children of God, choosing not to live in blame, to walk in victory, and to live at peace is rooted in a daily choice to truly see the many things we have to be grateful for and the myriad possibilities that open up when the human spirit shifts from anger and blame to freedom and victory. A victor marches around the walls of his fears, his pains, his unmet expectations, and his own anger, and those walls must inevitably come tumbling down. Christina, I find that to be really... You said that you didn't, one of the things the enemy uses in your mind is telling you that you don't have voice because you're not a certain color. And I think a lot of people who aren't black right now, or at least, in the period of wrestling with the whole George Floyd thing, and all of the issues that it has brought up in our nation and in the UK, a lot of you, I think, I've experienced a lot of you who feel like you don't have a voice, in it, because you're not African American. And I think that's a lie of the enemy as well, to make people who aren't of color, who aren't black, feel like victims, because you do have a voice, and everybody has to have a voice. And that's really the point, right? We have to listen to each other. And if we're going to listen to each other and hear each other, then we all have to speak and we all have to share our feelings and our emotions. And your feelings and emotions are valid, just like mine are. And so I just kind of wanted to point that out. But in going through some of the things, some of the questions that came up that I think many of you may be having, which is really where I wanted to start this teaching, is that I think a lot of you are asking the question, how? How can I be powerful, resourceful, and faithful? How can I stare down the demons of my past, forgive those who've treated me wrongly, and move forward in a way that brings real success? How can I unburden myself from the root causes of my anger and my blame in a way that helps me rise above circumstances, fears, hurt, and trauma? How? How can I truly move from living and thinking like a victim to living and thinking victoriously, no matter what socioeconomic environment I'm from, no matter what injustices I've experienced, and no matter what abuses I've suffered, how can I win? How can I choose victory? And that, I think, is the ultimate message that I want to really dive into with this teaching that I get into in my book. I want to, you know, really tap into where a lot of people are around the world. You know, you're asking how. And look, I mean, we take a journey in the book through the different war zones where you can fight these battles successfully to win. But right now, what I do want to get into is a lot of the stuff that I myself have experienced. And it really, for a while, had me saying, you know, I feel like a victim. I feel forgotten. I feel overlooked. I feel angry. I feel lost. I feel like the best of life is behind me. Some of you who are older, that's something that the enemy will try to use with you to make you feel like you've already lived your best life and there isn't anything for the next chapter, but that's not true. Some of you may be saying, I feel like I have no future, right? I feel like the future in front of me is all bad. A lot of you may be looking at your future and you just don't like what you see because you're looking with your natural eyes. You've got to look through God's eyes, right? Some of you are saying, I feel like I have no passion for anything. Boy, have I experienced that one where you just feel like, you know, you feel unmotivated, right? Or you feel afraid or sad, and that makes you feel unmotivated. That makes you feel like you have no passion for anything. Well, you know, when the joy of the Lord is your strength, then you begin to combat sadness. You know, when you know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you understand that faith is the opposite of fear, you know, that's when you begin to win. And that's when you're able to choose victory. You know, some of you just feel like crying. I've been there too. Christina, have you had days where you just feel like crying?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And what do you do on those days?
I actually usually don't cry. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, if it gets to that point where I feel like I need to cry, it's just proof that I haven't been running to the Lord. I've been, like you said earlier, just kind of like moping around in my own victimization, and I haven't actually ran into him and just poured out my soul to him. So usually I'll get into the shower and I'll have a good cry. I'll come out and I'll feel better. I'll talk to him and I'll, you know, get all lined up with what he says about me, and I'll feel better.
Yes. And notice that what you said is, I'll go talk to him.
Right.
So for those of you watching, take your tears to him. We have a good father. You have a good father, and he cares about you. He cares. Look, some of you are saying, okay, you're saying that he cares, but I feel like God doesn't exist. And if he does exist, he doesn't exist for me. And that's really a deep one, because that's such a lie. And so some of you right now need to stop what you're doing and say, like, and say this out loud: God exists, and he exists for me. I have a good father, and he loves me. He has not taken his eyes off of me. His eye is on the sparrow, though. And so I know he's watching me, like those old songs, whatever it is. You need to stop and you need to declare it right now, because the declaration out of your mouth is important, especially in a season where so many declarations against us, against our identity in Christ, against us being overcomers, against us being able to be victors and to choose victory for our lives. So much is coming against that. So you got to fight. Remember, the weapons of our warfare, of our warfare as believers, are not carnal, but they're mighty, right? To the pulling down of strongholds. So some of you are saying that if God does exist, he's clearly punishing you. He's blocking you. He's destroying the dreams that you thought that he gave you. Okay, lies, 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 right? Some of you are feeling like you've served him, yet he still doesn't care. Some of you are saying, I'm a Christian, yet I feel like I don't believe. I feel hopeless, and my tomorrows no longer seem inspiring to me. I feel like a loser, I'm a victim, and nobody cares. The reason why I really have to say that is because I have felt every single one of those emotions in my life myself. And in fact, you know, we can feel so many things through the days and seasons of our lives that, and some of those things are valid and they're invalid. But one thing I know to be true, victory does not live within how you feel. It lives within your choices. So you've got to really solidify that as like the biggest thing I want to say from this week's teaching. You know, victory is not about your feelings. Victory is about your choices. Because for many of us living in a crazy world that has been turned upside down with things like Christina said, I feel like I have no control over anything. I feel like I can't do anything, you know, to win these battles, all of which seem external to my life. The only thing that we can do is the most important thing that we can do. And that's to understand that the facts that we may be looking at have nothing to do with the reality that is ours in Christ Jesus. And those facts cause us to feel certain things. Our feelings are not God, you know? And when we make our feelings God in our lives, when we exalt our feelings above the word of God, we can only end up in one place, feeling like a victim, walking in blame, anger, confusion, despair, all those things that, you know, we spoke about last week as kind of the benchmark of what the enemy has released on the earth right now. So, you know, Christine, I'd love to know from you one of the ways in which God, you know, constantly teaches you that, you know, the facts may have a lot to do with your feelings, but the feelings aren't real. They're not God.
Right. What's so interesting is that all of those feelings that you were sharing of, you know, dreams dying and I've served you, but you don't see me, all this stuff, every single one that you stated earlier, I have felt. And they're real. I mean, the feelings are so real. And what's so scary about it is that those things may not even be real, but they feel real, which makes them real. I don't know if that made any sense, but I actually do remember like 3 or 4 years ago, just having one of those cry out sessions with the Lord being like, I've given you all of these years, the years of my youth, you know, serving you. And, but you still care about this person more than me. You know, that was like my huge accusation against the Lord was that, sure, you take care of my needs, but you don't love me. You don't lavish on me. I'm just like someone that, I'm just like a responsibility or a duty that you have to take care of. And that was my really big, big accusation against the Lord. That was my huge victimization. That's what I felt all the time. And something that really helped get out of that, for one, is time, maturing, having those cry sessions with the Lord, telling him how I really feel, and then letting his word and his truth, wait, hold on, but I'm your daughter, wait, but like your thoughts towards me are, they outnumber the sands of the seashore, all of those things that he says about my value, I had to keep going to, but it took years. And what's actually funny is that his timing is really perfect. Because there was one person in particular that I was really jealous of, because I was like, no matter what, this person is always gets all the favor, gets all the opportunities, is always on the, you know, whatever. I won't go into detail.
Oh, I know. I get it. Right. I get it. Know?
But we ended up becoming friends, and I got to hear this person's story and realized, whoa, we are feeling the same exact thing. And what I was seeing in my eyes was not actually reality for this person. And this person might have felt that way towards me because on the outside, my situation looked like something better to them. And so it's two things. It's going to the Lord, being absolutely real with him and being okay. You know, I cussed out the Lord. I'm sorry. I was free and I just let it out. And I apologize later, but then I also let him love me. And I actually got to hear this other person's story that I thought, you know, I was the victim to this big injustice, and realizing, wow, we're all on the same page and we're all children of God. And I just can't think that way. I have to know that my Father loves each of us equally with his entire heart, you know? And when you think about that and you think about God's not like me, I can only love you so much and then love you so much, but his capacity is infinite. I don't have to worry about, you know, like we're all his favorite one. So I don't know if that helped, but that's kind of what's been mulling in my head this whole time.
Of course, no, of course it helped. You know, you mentioned feelings of jealousy. I think I not to make anything simple, because nothing's simple in the world that we live in today. But I even think there's a bit of the concept of privilege that has, and we're privileged. You and I are privileged. We really are, right? Compared to some people. And so in the way that this world is, there will always be someone more privileged to than the next. And that's not entirely about color. I mean, you know, to my brothers and sisters on African continents, there are other blacks who are more privileged, you know, the ruling class or I mean, there are some incredibly wealthy Nigerians, you know, and they would probably be the first to say, I have privilege because I have more wealth than some of my other brothers and sisters. And so I really don't want us to fall into the trap of thinking this term, which has been so applied to whites, you know, and white privilege. While I think it's important for all of us to recognize the ways that we're privileged, especially, you know, I think for whites who may occupy a lot of the world's sort of, I don't know, you know, power or what have you, but you can't judge people from the outside. Because it's as you say, you don't really know their story. And I, you know, I'm very close friends with a woman who she's been on the sessions before, Christine Sewell, and she has this beautiful organization that really caters mostly to Black and Brown women, and it's called Providence Heights. And they're homeless women's, it's a homeless women's university that takes in homeless women and gives them a chance, educates them, trains them, and gives them jobs. It's an amazing organization. But that said, when I first met Christine, we were at the same wedding and she turned around and she said, hi. And she's this little petite blonde. And you would look at her and think she comes from a world of privilege, because right now her world is very privileged. But she said to me, what's your story? And I said, what's yours? You go first. Because you know my story is filled with a whole lot of victimization and wreckage, right? And anything that you know is not about privilege. When she shared her story of being sex trafficked and abused and homeless with 3 children, and why she has the heart that she does for this ministry that she's now in, I almost fell over, because I literally was like, oh my goodness. And I said to her, wow, you've got more wreckage than a whole lot of women I know who's, you know, grew up in ghettos. And she laughed, you know, but then I shared my story. And what I realized was that I had a sister in Christ, and that was bigger, you know, than anything. And so I don't know, hopefully I haven't gotten too sidetracked. But I do want to, because I promised that we were going to actually get into some teaching from John 5. And so what I want to do is I want to read this to you, and then we're going to close this week, and then we're going to come back next week, and we're going to pick up where we are and why I think John 5 is so important to us today. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie around, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. So in essence, this man had been a victim for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Okay, I want to stop right there, because there's just too much power in this and in the topic of feeling like a victim, yet choosing victory and recognizing when perhaps you've allowed certain things to make you think you're a victim, especially when Jesus Christ is standing right in front of you, wanting to offer you victory. So I'm Cynthia Garrett. We have to stop for this week, but for those of you who are feeling like a victim, I'd like to extend an invitation for you to know Christ. And it's really simple, and you can step into it right now by simply saying these words out loud. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. Lord, I don't know a lot, but right now I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to give you my fears, my confusion, my doubts. They're overwhelming. And I want you to take control. Whatever these girls and whatever this woman is talking about, I want it, Lord Jesus. And in Jesus' name, I make you Lord of my life, and I surrender my life to you. I'm Cynthia Garrett. We're going to stop right there. We'll see you next week. I love you.
Your grace is sufficient. Your love is overwhelming me. Your mercies, they are new every morning. And you renew my strength to fly on eagle's wings. This is who you are. And it's step by step, day by day, a moment by moment, choice by choice, thought by thought, I'm turning to you, Jesus. It's step by step, and day by day, and moment by moment, and choice by choice, thought by thought, I'm turning to you, Jesus. 'Cause it's moment by moment, breath after breath, that I find solace in all that you said. And I'm feeling your movement. I understand. Your love transcends my every circumstance. Your love transcends every trial and tribulation. I know your love transcends my brokenness, my weakness, my questions. Your love transcends. It's overwhelming me now. That you are
here. Hi, everyone. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and I just wanted to stop and encourage you to pick up a copy of my new book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. And it is about all of the ways in which everything about your life and this world tries to make you live your life as a victim. And we don't want to do that. We want to learn how to choose victory. So you can get your copy online and at booksellers everywhere. Go to ichoosevictory.com and find out everything you need to know. I'll see you soon.